It's been asked of me several times to talk to people about once saved, always saved. And now with Brother Chad starting up this new internet deal, and I don't know if everybody's been on there looking at it, but he's doing a good job with it, I think. But we're going to do this, and he's going to put it on the internet. So if they want to listen at it, they can. So we'll put part one, maybe have part two or three. But I believe the Bible's pretty plain about it, don't you? And I really believe, and I've said this many times, and I know you've probably heard this before, but we need to be ready to give a man an answer of the hope that lies within us. This is one doctrine that I really personally believe is worse than Catholicism because it gives people a false hope. And a false hope is worse than no hope at all. If you've got a false security, then that security, I'll never forget working several years ago with Brother Brian. We were, I forget exactly what and all it was we were doing, but I remember that drop ceiling being, was up somewhere, and Brother Brian said, "Now be careful." He said, "This ceiling," said, "it looks like from up here where you're standing, it's going to give you a sense of, you know, you think everything's okay, but if you step there, it's not going to hold you up. You're going to fall, and you're going to fall through that ceiling. And because it's nothing but just little cardboard tiles or whatever that stuff's made out of." And so a false hope really is more dangerous than no hope, because if you've got a false hope, then you just lax and you just go and you do and live any way you want to live. And but unconditional eternal security, is it true or is it false? That's what we want to talk about here this morning. There's no question in my mind, or I believe of any true child of God, about the fact that we are secure in the Father's hands. I know a lot of people think that Pentecostal people, holiness people, or anybody that doesn't believe in unconditional eternal security, that's just a big way of saying, can a man backslide after he's been saved? Can a man backslide and go to hell afterwards? And I believe he can. I believe the Bible's pretty plain about that. But we do not go to bed at night thinking, well, I'm saved today and I'm lost tomorrow. I'm saved today, I'm lost tomorrow, and things of that nature. I know that God, the Bible said, God will keep that which I have committed unto him. And if you'll commit yourself to the Lord, young folks, if you commit yourself to God, God has the ability to keep you. Now, that does not free you to be able to go and do and live any way you want to live and say and do anything you want to say. There has got to be a part where you say, I'm going to live for God. Amen. In the midst of this wicked world, I'm going to live for God. Now, and as I've already said, many believe that we're constantly losing our salvation. I just believe it like this. And I've said this many, many times. I really, if you want to get technical about it, I do not believe in losing your salvation. I don't believe that you just wake up one morning and say, oh, I lost my salvation. When you backslide, you do it knowing what you're doing. No, I've said many times, people never do backslide on their knees praying. So it's not a matter of losing your salvation. It's a matter of leaving your salvation. It's a matter of you walking away from God. The Bible said, I believe it's Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And so it's not a matter of losing. I like to establish that first of all. It's not a matter of losing your salvation, but it is a matter of leaving your salvation. 1 Corinthians 10:12 said, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. So when you think that you're right where you need to be, that's the ones that really need to be. Stop and take a look at your surroundings and take a look at what's around you and say, I need to take heed lest I fall. And I'm going to say this right here. We all have the ability to fall. You know, it's easy sometimes when we see folks backslide, it's easy for us to just look and think and say, well, I knew they didn't have nothing to begin with. But, brother, the Bible said that you that are spiritual, when you see your brother overtaken in a fall, you that are spiritual, go to him and restore such a one, considering yourself, lest you fall. So we all have the ability to fall. If David was a man after God's own heart and he fell, and on and on, we could go through the Bible of the failures of good men and good women of God, but still they failed the Lord, then how much more should you and I pay close attention to where we're standing, lest we fall? Amen. Now, I do believe that any teaching regarding the security of the believer, which allows for deliberate disobedience to God in the Christian life, is a travesty on the Bible. I do not believe that God allows in his word for people to deliberately, openly, and blatantly just walk out of the house of God and sin and say, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I can do what I want to do. Now, I want to talk, first of all, my first point is, who are sheep? I've heard many people, and I've talked to a lot of folks that believe once saved, always saved. And they say, well, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they're going to follow me. And he said that I give them eternal life. And I got to looking at that scripture a long time ago, and I want to take you there. In the book of John, chapter 10, John chapter 10, you young folks would do well to follow us here. That way, you never know who you're going to meet one day. And this is going to come up because it's everywhere. Stanley County is full of this doctrine because I want to say this. If there's one doctrine that I wished was true, I wish it was this one. Amen. I do. I really do. Because I've got family that if they didn't get right before they died, Sister Whitley, they in hell. And I would love for this to be true, but I really don't see no scripture for it backing it up. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. And I want to say, I believe every word of what I just read to you, every single word, I believe it. And a lot of folks hang their hat on this because of the words eternal life, and, they're never going to perish. But don't hear what the Bible didn't say. Amen. I do believe that Christ's sheep have eternal life. I do believe they shall never perish. And I do believe that no man has the ability to pluck them out of God's hand. However, let's take God's word as we find it. Let's not alter it one bit. And let's just look at it for what it says. Not to what it suits your doctrine or your belief, but just take a look at it. And let's just see what the Bible says. The absolute safety of the sheep is certain, but there is another absolute statement here which comes first, and it is this: my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Amen. I like what one commentator said, and I want to quote this. He said, this passage is a check drawn on the inexhaustible resources of the Bank of Heaven. It is made in favor of those who hear Christ's voice and follow him. Any such believer may endorse it and cash it at face value. But let not one who is straying or of another fold try to cash in on this promise. The cashier is never fooled by forged signatures. Amen. You see, we got a lot of people today that want to take advantage of eternal life. And never going to perish, and nobody, and that's all they hear. That's all they, when they read John 10, that's all they hear is never perish and eternal life. But you cannot deny the plain statement of God's word. He said, my sheep follow me. My sheep follow me. Now, and I know I've preached this till it's threadbare, but all these are present tense statements. Every word in the Bible is put there on purpose and for a reason. The Bible said not one jot and not one tittle, not one period, not one exclamation point, not one colon mark in the Bible is going to be done away with. It's all there for a purpose. So all these statements is present tense. He said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep, he said, I know them and they follow me. Amen. And we really don't have no right to rewrite that and to say that once you heard the voice and you followed the Lord, that now, but it's present tense. You're hearing the voice of God. You're following God. Now, we know according to the Bible that there's certain things that Christians can't do. You cannot live in fornication and adultery and say that you're right. And yet, I there was a pastor right here in Albemarle several years ago, got so mad at me, got up in my face and was telling me that he could go out and get drunk and commit adultery and everything else, and if he died on the way home, he'd go to heaven. Amen. And but here the Bible said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You'll never convince me that you followed the Lord to the bed of fornication. And you'll never convince me that you followed the Lord into the bed of adultery or to a beer bottle. Amen. If you're following the Lord, now if you want eternal life, then you've got to be doing what the Bible said do, and that is follow me. Follow me. Amen. Now these are the ones that shall never perish. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You see, what people have done in this easy believism day and hour, especially in 2012, is they've taken their pet scriptures, amen, and they have twisted them. And the Bible said here they rest, amen, other scriptures. In other words, they wrestle with them. They twist them and they put their own. Jehovah's Witness has the ability to take a Bible. And if you don't know much of the Bible, they can take their Bible and prove to you that there's going to be no hell. And that Jesus and deny the deity of Christ just by wrestling the scriptures. But the Bible said here that they're doing it to their own destruction. Now you tell me who has the right. No one has ever been authorized to rewrite this passage to say, they once heard my voice and followed me, and I give them eternal life. He said, they hear my voice. They hear my voice, and they follow me. It's something that you're doing right now. When you get away from God, you're not following the Lord. You cannot say that you're following the Lord into sin. You can't do that. Amen. The Bible said that that God cannot lie. Amen. God cannot lie. And he tempts no man with evil. Praise the Lord. But out of your heart, the Bible said, comes murders and lies and deceit. Amen. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. He said, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. As I've said before, you're not following the Lord's steps to Marlboro Country. Amen. You'll never convince me that we'd see Jesus walking down the convenience store paying $5 for a pack of smokes. Amen. But you got to follow his steps. Verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So you cannot say that you're a sheep and that you're following the Lord when you just cussed your neighbor, kicked the dog, slammed the door, amen, cussed your wife out, and then you're going to go to church on Sunday morning and say, well, I'm saved. Once I got saved, I can never lose it. Amen. If you're a sheep, who are sheep? Sheep follow Jesus. Sheep hear his voice. And if you're not doing that, then you're not a sheep. You're not a sheep. It's one thing to stand up and say I'm a Christian. It's another thing to be a Christian. And I'm a firm believer there's going to be a lot of people going to wake up in hell one day who think they should have went to heaven. Now, I just talked to you about who are sheep. I want to talk about the scripture in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 that a lot of people use. And what I've tried to do is I've tried to pull out certain scriptures, not my pet scriptures, but scriptures that have been used over the years to try to prove eternal security and unconditionally, and I'm trying to look at those. Now, I want to talk about separation. What about separation? Because the Bible said in Romans 8 and 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here again, I want us to take God's word as we find it, balancing scripture with scripture, and you'd be well to do that. Don't balance the word of God with what the preacher up the road and the preacher down the street said. When you read in the Bible and you find a verse, balance it out with other scriptures. The Bible is its best commentary if we'll listen to it. There's no forces or influences in heaven above or earth or in hell that can drive a wedge between the soul and the Savior. Many have taken this scripture and are teaching false security. Well, nothing will separate me from the love of God, so I'm just going to go get drunk. If I get mad at you, I'll cuss you out. And, you know, I've seen people flip people the bird going down the road, but they got the little fish on the back of the car, and they think they're all right. Amen. But Isaiah 59 and 1, he said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, But, verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, I know that nothing could separate you from the love of God, but you do know this. Everybody in hell today, God loves them. Amen. And the Bible said it's not his will that any perish, but I've said it for many years now. God doesn't always get what he wants, even though he is God. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, omniscient, and we could go on, but he does not always get what he wants. He didn't want that soul to go to hell this morning. He didn't want them people to die lost and go to hell. In fact, he gave his son to bleed and die on a cross so that they could have eternal life. But they did not heed to it. And so God, and nothing will separate you from the love of God. But you hear me, sin is not a thing. Paul said, Romans 8, that nothing shall separate us. But sin is not a thing. Sin is a choice. Sin is the act of your will. And somebody said, well, I just can't help but sin. You're lying. You choose to sin. The Bible said that with every temptation, there is a way of escape. Sin is a choice. If you get mad at me and you was to just walk up here and smack me, you couldn't. I here the other day, the kids at home was listening to Odyssey. And I tell you, I love that Odyssey that was talking about temptation. And they interviewed all these people because this boy had broken in and had stolen some things, and he blamed it on the devil. He said, I didn't have no choice. He said, I was standing there, and a little voice in my ear said, take it, take it, And he said, I had to. But he didn't have to, just like you don't have to. If you sin, you choose to sin. This idea that you got to get up every day and sin every day, I'm telling you right now, anybody that's got one eyeball and half a brain ought to be able to read the Bible and know you choose to sin. If you want to sin, you choose to. You don't have to. The Bible said that he would provide a way of escape. The problem is that we're not taking it. Amen. Sin is suicide of the soul. Sin is always avoidable. Always. Always avoidable. You do not have to sin. Sin always brings separation between God and man. He said in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Amen. And so, while nothing can separate you from the love of God, notice that sin is not a thing. Sin is a choice. And the Bible said that sin will separate between you and God because it hides his face from you. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned, not condoned, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The promises here are to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, whom the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, and in whom the righteousness of the law is fulfilled. Sonship to God is clearly defined in verse 14 of Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. No one who lives in sin can claim to be led by the Spirit of God. How goofy. How goofy. Can you go in down at the bar and say, hey, the Spirit of the Lord led me here. I'm a Christian, and you know, I go to the first church of the Frozen Chosen, and God led me down here and passed me a bud while I witnessed to you guys. Have you, my word? Amen. No one who lives in sin can claim to be led by the Spirit of God. God doesn't lead men to sin. God will always lead you to a closer walk to him. The Holy Ghost will always point you to Christ. The Holy Ghost will always point you to a closer walk with the Lord. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. How much plainer do you have to get? He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Son and the Father and the Son. So if you do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, the Bible plainly tells you here, you don't have God. If you can willfully and blatantly sin and continue in it, amen, he that abideth, that's something that you're continually doing. And when you find, when the preacher comes and says, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, and you just look at him and just snuff your nose, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway, and you just continue, that E-T-H on the end of the word abide makes it abideth, which is a continual thing that you are doing. You won't receive doctrine. You won't receive the word of God. And the Bible says, if you're doing that, you do not have God. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not, you don't have God. You do not have God. John 15 and 1, I am the true vine. I'm going to read about six verses here. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Amen. You must abide in Christ. That is your part. There's three things you're going to have to fight when you become a Christian. There's three things you're going to have to fight: the flesh, the devil, amen, and the world. There's three things that's going to tempt you: the devil, the flesh, and the world. Now, the devil has already been defeated because Christ plainly tells us that. And then John 16, I believe it is, he tells us that he has already overcome the world. But your flesh is one thing that Jesus is not going to help you with. You're going to have to do that on your own. That's something that you've got to do. You have got to make the choice not to sin. You got to make the choice to abide in Christ. You make a choice. Sin is a choice. And so it's something that you have got to do. Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness. If, somebody say if. That's a big old word. Amen. Two letters, but it's a big word. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Now it does not take 15 college degrees to figure out what that means. You're going to be cut off. Cut off. Amen. The writer of Hebrews makes it clear that sin separates the soul from the Savior. And this has been a controversial scripture here. Not controversial, but it's been one that has caused lots of debate in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe it's kind of plain when you just stop and slow down and read what the Bible says here. Hebrews 6 and 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, many deny that the persons mentioned here in Hebrews 6 are even saved at all, though the Bible does tell us that they were enlightened. The Bible here plainly tells us that they tasted of the heavenly gift. They've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. That word taste is the same word that's used in Hebrews 2 and verse 9, where it said he tasted death for every man. So they tasted of it. It means they had a full experience of it. They were even made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They had a relationship with God because he said to fall away. Now, you can't fall away from something you don't have. Amen. Now, others argue that this is a hypothetical statement and relates. Now, I read some commentaries. I just shook my head. I thought, how in the world can you say that this is a hypothetical statement and relates to something that could never happen? Why would the Bible emphasize something that could never happen? Why would he do that? Why would he waste time in Scripture to talk to us, amen, and warn us about things that could never be to begin with? People that tasted of the Word of God. Now, let me explain this verse to you. If you stop and read it and you slow down, verse 6, the Bible said, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify. Notice what it didn't say. Now, I know a lot of people have taken this, holiness people that have good standards and everything else, but they twist this around so bad to say that if you ever had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can, and you backslide, you can never be saved. Because the Bible said it's impossible. Those are enlightened and tasted the good, you know. and they twist it around. But notice what the Bible said. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify. They crucify. That is a present tense word. That is a present tense verb. Something that they are doing right now. Now, I want to tell you, God, even God himself, cannot. It is impossible to renew you again. If you backslide, and you see you've got the Holy Ghost, and if you go out here and backslide and commit sin, it is impossible to renew you again to salvation if you continue to crucify the Lord and continue in that sin. So what's got to happen in order for a man that has tasted of the Holy Ghost and everything to renew him again? It's not an impossibility if they will stop crucifying the Lord. In other words, if they'll stop their sinning, seeing they crucify the Lord and to an open shame. So a man cannot be renewed back to God until he stops the sinning business. Now, if you'll get out of the sinning business, then God will help you. God will come by and he'll minister to you. I believe that with all my heart. The book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 25. The Bible said here that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, which from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Now, did Judas go to hell? Could Judas lose his salvation? Now, we know this. Judas was a man that raised people from the dead. Judas was a man that the power of the Holy Ghost was given to him. He was numbered with the disciples, and he went out doing good. Amen. And he was one of the disciples. Now, some say that his own place was heaven. Let me read this to you again. Acts 1 and verse 25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Now others will say, well, Judas never was saved. But now the two arguments cancel each other out. If he never was saved, how'd he go to heaven? A man cannot go to heaven unless he's been saved. Now, Jesus himself tells us that Judas was lost. Even though Judas had been saved, even though Judas had a portion of the Holy Ghost given to him, and he'd done great works and done, I mean, in fact, you study the life of Judas, he traveled farther than any other of the 11 other disciples to be a disciple of Jesus. I really believe his heart was right. I really believe Judas wanted to do right, but he got his eyes on money. He got his eyes on the things of this world, and I believe it so corrupted him that he fell. John 17 and 12, Jesus said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. If he was not saved, how could he have failed? If Judas wasn't saved, there's no reason to believe that any of the others were. If Judas wasn't saved, then John wasn't saved. Amen. Jesus here says that he was lost. Now, I've heard one man said, one preacher that believed this said to me, Judas wasn't saved because the Bible said he was a devil. Okay, well, if you believe that, then Peter didn't make it, because Matthew 16, 23, Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. And so just because Jesus looked at him and called him a devil does not mean that at one time Judas was not saved. But it just bears record and over in the Bible that if you're going to go to heaven, this is not just some one-time deal that you get down at 5 and 6, 7 years old, not discounting our young people. I'm thankful. We've got young people here that I really believe have an experience with the Lord. But it's not just something you do when you're young, and then you get up and you go and say, well, let's go to the bar. Amen. Amen. Let's go down. Let's go get drunk. We're saved, man. We're Christians. We can do it. sin separates us from God. And we cannot live in sin and then stand up and say, well, I'm a Christian. Now, we've talked about the meaning of sheep, and we've talked to you about separation. I want to talk to you about the meaning of eternal life. How many people have said to me over the years, man, once you get saved, you're always saved because God gave you eternal life. And I want to just look at this. I don't want to add nothing to the Word of God. I want to just take this question and just kind of dissect it and read it right out of the Bible. The question is this, the meaning of eternal life. Here's the question. Whether anyone who lives a life of sin may claim to be in possession of eternal life once he has believed. So if you got a Bible, turn to John 17 and verse 1. John chapter 17 verse 1. The Bible said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. Now, the Lord is getting ready to give you the definition of eternal life. Here is the definition of eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, this is the definition of eternal life, that you might know Jesus. Now, let's look at what John says, and let's contrast two verses of Scripture. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. I'd like for everybody to go there if you could. 1 John. Just keep turning in the New Testament Bible. It's almost over there before you get to the last book of the Revelation. Just a little book tucked away there. Amen. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, again, I want to tell you, what is the meaning of eternal life? That they might know thee. 1 John 2 and 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Can you see what I'm talking about here? Now, if you say, I've got eternal life, according to what Jesus said himself, eternal life is the knowledge of Christ and knowing the Lord. And then 1 John 2 and 4 said, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So, I would never do it. I would never do it, I don't think. But, in all reality, when you walk up to a man and he says, well, I've got eternal life, and I'm saved. And then the next verse, I'll never forget. I was at work one time, and a gentleman was standing there, and he cussed this guy to a fly wouldn't light on him. And he walked over, and got talking to him, and I got a witness to him. I said, "Hey, man," I said, talking to him about the Lord. "Oh yeah, man. I'm a Christian, man. Yeah, I'm saved." Well, you know, according to the Bible, if he would listen, I could look at him and say, you know, you're a liar. You believe I can take the Bible and prove that you're a liar? Because if you say you've got eternal life, 1 John 2 and 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And we could go on and on. We could look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. I believe that. But now go to 2 John chapter 1, verse 2. And I told you a little while ago, the Bible is its best commentary. Balance Scripture with Scripture. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, He hath both the Father and the Son. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he's telling you here, if you don't abide in the doctrine, you do not have Christ. You don't have the Son. So who does? Who does God give eternal life to? There's several scriptures here. If you want to go to them, follow with me. John chapter 8 and verse 51. Verily, verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Amen. Now we went out here not too many months back and laid Dad in the ground. But according to the Bible, he didn't die. He's asleep. Amen. He said he giveth his beloved sleep. And so we're looking for one day the Lord's going to come back and they're going to get up and we're getting out of this world. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for that. Romans 2 and 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Eternal life. Who by patient continuance. It's not just a one-time thing. It is a continuance over and over. Hebrews 5 and 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal life unto all that obey him. Oh, yeah, I obey the Lord. I'm a Christian. Just be careful how you signal light don't work when you cut them off, because they're just liable to cuss you out. They're just liable to run up on you, amen, and go with that little bumper sticker on the front. I'm the Christian the devil warned you about. And they got the little fish on the front. But I'm going to tell you, amen, they that are saved are folks that want to follow after the Lord and continue to follow after the Lord. They that obey him. 1 John 2:24, I'm about through. 1 John 2:24, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. I'm glad for eternal life. I'm thankful for eternal life. But I'm going to tell you right now, eternal life is not for the drunkard out on the. I'm going to tell you, we live in a time now, it's hard. It is so hard to find anybody that be honest and say, you know what, I'm not saved. That's hard. It's hard to find people say, you know what, preacher, I'm just away from God. I'm backslid. Because we're so concerned about what other people are going to think about us. And I've said it many times, pride is one thing that's going to take more people to hell than I really believe than Catholicism or anything else is going to be able to do. Because pride is that thing that is so self-centered that you're so worried about what everybody's going to think about you that you fail to forget and you forgot that God already knows everything about us. So the best thing we could do is just get honest with God and fall down on our face and say, God, I want to have eternal life, but I do know this. I've got to keep myself and I've got to abide in the doctrine of Christ. Amen. Who has eternal life? Those that keep the word of God, keep Christ's sayings. Amen.